May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What makes Christmas Christmas for you? Would it be Christmas without the tree? Without the mistletoe? Without the fairy holding her wand? Would it be Christmas without mulled wine, mince pies? Would it be Christmas without jingle bells and winter wonderland? You know, in the early days of the church, in North Africa, they kept Jesus' birthday in May. And in Constantinople, they observed it in January. This Roman pagan winter festival, which the church eventually borrowed to celebrate Christ's birth, is now being demanded back by the wicked world from which we nicked it. How long will it be before most schools just have a secular Christmas celebration and the pantomime fairy is better known than the Archangel Gabriel? Actually, it could be worse than that, because we live in a multicultural society. It's quite possible now that children will be shown how to celebrate Eid with their Muslim neighbours and Diwali with their Hindu neighbours. But hush, whisper it not, that Christmas is also a religious festival with a serious message. All Christians must stand up for Christmas and its meaning. We should celebrate Christmas with such gusto that no one is ever in any doubt that it is a Christian festival. We should rejoice in the fullness of its meaning. And if we do happen to celebrate with all the things I mentioned at the top, we should also always decorate our homes and our churches with the tree that reminds us how he died to save us, with crib figures that remind us how he was born for us, and with lights to remind us of the coming of the light which enlightens everyone, Christ, whose coming into the world we celebrate. And we should encourage our schools and our workplaces, the places we go to enjoy ourselves and the places we go to relax, also to acknowledge it is a Christian festival. Ask them where the crib is. Where is the Christ child? Let us follow the good example of Joseph in our gospel and not the dreadful example of Ahaz in our first reading. We can refuse God's sign, the sign of the coming child, like Ahaz did, and step out of the story, handing on our part to someone braver and more trusting. Or, like Joseph, we can accept the call to protect the child, the word of God, and to help the world to see him as the sign that God is with us. In our first lesson, King Ahaz won't ask God for a sign. Lots of people today won't ask God for a sign because they don't believe in God. But this was not the case with Ahaz. In those days, everyone believed in God. So why won't Ahaz ask God for a sign? The reason he gives sounds like a good religious response. But the tone of the story makes it clear that it isn't. What he says is, "I will not put the Lord God to the test." In the Gospels, we often see that Jesus is asked for a sign and he refuses to give one. So why is Ahaz not right to refuse to ask God for a sign? Well, the simple answer is that Ahaz is wrong because in this case, God himself has told Ahaz to ask. So that Ahaz's refusal is deliberate, a deliberate determination to turn his back on what God is offering. Now, this is the second time that God has spoken to Ahaz in the middle of a deep political crisis for his kingdom. Some of you may be my age or older and remember from the days before the Six-Day War, and that it was like that for Ahaz. The homeland of the Jews is subjected to a double-pronged attack. And just as the Jews were very frightened before the Six-Day War, so here in the historical situation, Ahaz is also very frightened. Two of the neighboring kingdoms are trying to force Judah into an alliance against the king of Assyria. God has already told Ahaz that he has nothing to fear, but Ahaz does not believe God. So when we come to today's readings, we see Ahaz's real reason for rejecting God. He no longer trusts. It is hard to tell which he fears the most, that God will be proved wrong or that God will make Ahaz change his mind, because Ahaz has already decided what he will do. He is an appeaser. In the face of the pressure that the king of Assyria is putting him under, he has decided to give in. He is going to put his trust in his own political intelligence, or lack of it, rather than in God. And he can't risk letting God mess up his decision. The result of Ahaz's failure of nerve is this sign, the sign that reverberates down through the centuries. Though Ahaz may never have understood it or seen its fulfillment. Now, St. Matthew, when writing about the birth of Christ, picks up on this sign and knows exactly how to interpret the young woman whose child is called God is with us. Joseph's encounter with the angel is told in a very straightforward and pragmatic language by Matthew. There are no bursts of blazing light, no drift of snow-white feathers, just Joseph sleeping and dreaming. But his response to God is so different from Ahaz's. He simply, immediately follows his dream. He marries Mary and steps into the story of our salvation. Ahaz chooses, though he doesn't know it, to step out of the light, into the background, so that he becomes just a sign of what is to take place without him. But Joseph's trust puts him at the heart of what God is doing in Jesus Christ. It's hard to value Joseph properly. We get so few insights into his character, and the story could so clearly have gone ahead without him. But Matthew is prepared to give him his due. Even before we know what the child will be, we can see the presence of God in Joseph's willingness to serve God in the situation. In Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, Joseph's role as the one who listens to God and protects his family is vital. Joseph trusts God simply and immediately, although it involves him in heartache and potential shame. And that is why Ahaz's rejected sign of the woman and child becomes a family, a trinity. A sign that human beings are capable of responding to each other and to God. Joseph's function is to be there for others, to forget himself and his own needs and desires and reputation, and to make room for God to act. Through his wife Mary and her child, God's child, Jesus. The church's mission is not unlike Joseph's, if we choose to accept it. We are to protect the word of God and make room for it in the world. We are called to bear witness to the sign that Ahaz rejected and Matthew accepted, which is God is with us. thanks at least partly to Joseph's willingness to be nothing more or less than God asks him to be, we can see the fulfillment of this prophecy. God is infinitely patient in doing what he has promised, and he never forgets the promise made to David, rejected by Ahaz, misunderstood and misinterpreted by many others, comes to completion in Jesus. And as the promise waits, it grows and grows to include more and more of us in its scope. In this last week of Advent, we can stand either with Ahaz or with Joseph. Either we can refuse God's sign, the sign of the coming child, and step out of the story, handing on our part to someone braver and more trusting, or we can accept the call to protect the child and to help the world see him as the sign that God is with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.